Hey, Clipper Nation, what's going on? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
What's up? And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
We are, and we're live on Twitter right now, so shout out to everyone watching.
Yeah, live on Twitter, emojis. As we are every Tuesday. That's at Locked On Clips.
Come through.
Feel free to come through with your questions and comments. We'll read them live on the air. And, yeah, address them. So if you're ever unable to watch that stream, just tweet at us anytime during the week. That's at Locked On Clips or at Will Updike or at Charles Mockler.
We both have Twitter.
Yeah, and we'll get back to you. Let's chop it up. So we're going to kick things off today with a preview of the Timberwolves game. We've split the season with these guys.
Feels like kind of a trap game.
It feels like a trap game in that so many people have been shut down. But this is a Timberwolves team, and we'll talk about this later in the preview, but this is a Timberwolves team whose starters have outscored us by more than 50 points.
They're feisty.
Yeah, they could be a feisty team. So we got that for you. And then, as I said, Twitter Tuesday, we'll be taking a lot of questions in those second and third segments. We got some kind of just general Clippers talk. We got some free agency talks. So stay tuned for all of that coming up right about now.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out also on April 7th, we will be doing a live watch party at Tom's Urban for the away game against the Warriors.
Definitely.
If you're in LA, come through. It's hella fun. They have a floor where you can like pour all your own beers, which is great.
Yeah.
You can
and
also
it exists on its own currency.
Yes, it
and
does.
And its own social
you can,
system
like, buy your
in
own
which
cards.
Healthcare is free for everyone. Yeah. And everyone is equal.
Free healthcare at Tom's Urban, LA Live. You pour
floor. Only while you're there.
Yeah.
And only on that floor.
So tonight we are playing the Timberwolves. If we win this game, we clinch a playoff spot.
Oh yeah.
Or if the Kings lose, but I mean honestly, it'd be nice to take care of this one ourselves.
Yeah. For sure.
This would be a nice win to get. So injuries, I know everyone's worried about the Shamet injury. It seems to be on the upswing. Doc said Shamet might give it a go. They won't know till shoot around. Doc says personally he don't think he'll play, but that still seems, I think, better than everyone kind of thought.
It seems positive. I guess just as a side note, do you want to see Shamet play today?
No.
I agree.
Really.
I think that it's just nothing to mess around with, and it's such a, I don't want to say it's a small game, because it's a definite like trap game.
The most crucial of wins were we to get it.
For sure.
And if Doc doesn't think he can play, I don't even know how much time he'll get anyway.
Definitely.
Also, Luka Mbamute is out with a sore knee.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question for everyone watching and for you, Will. At this point, which would you rather have? Nurkic's freak injury or Luke's sore knee? Who's coming back first from that?
I'm going to pick Nurkic coming back first just because we know the actual diagnosis.
Yeah. Yeah, the sore knee is too ambiguous. T-Wolves injuries, they have a bunch. Covington, Jang, Taj Gibson is questionable. Rose is shut down and Teague is shut down. So a good portion of the guys who beat us or who like kind of can put one over on us are out for the Wolves.
Are out, yeah.
Timberwolves have lost five of their last six, their last win being against a feisty Memphis team.
Yikes.
And like you said, we've split the season series 1-1 with kind of a goofy game the last time we played right after the trade deadline.
Yeah, it was immediately after the trade deadline. Shamet still wasn't even in the lineup, I don't think.
No, Temple started for him.
Temple started, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's get into what we need to do to win this one.
Let it on them, dude.
So, I think rebounding the ball well, I mean, we say this every single time. But the only time we've lost to this team, granted in a very small sample size, they out-rebounded us 37-44. We held our own in that victory. We got five more boards than they did. And Tobias was the leading rebounder in that game.
That's never good.
So
that's never a good thing.
Trez was the leader in the loss, which makes more sense. But I think it'll be, if we do end up winning the boards tonight or taking care of business, it's going to be a lot more well-rounded. Like,
yeah.
I think that, you know, Trez might not have the big, big numbers, but I think it'll be pretty evenly spread out between him, Gallo, and Zoo, hopefully, like, if everything is going well.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Gallo could put up, like, one of those, like, nine-rebound games, like, kind of sneaky nine-rebound games.
Well, my issue with that, and I'll get into this a little bit more in the matchups, is that those forwards, the forwards that they're going to be rolling out tonight are pretty rangy.
Yeah,
so I don't think we're really going to be able to rely on Gallo to be clean in the glass, especially if he's going to have to defend all the way out to the perimeter. So we'll see what happens with that, but I hope everybody can kind of step in and chip in, and it can be a team effort in that way.
Might see one of those low-key Patrick Beverley triple-doubles tonight.
All right.
This kind of just kind of nollie kick-flipping off what you just said. So we can't really stop Cap. Like, we just know that. He's had 24-10 and 20-12 against us so far this year.
Yeah.
So in their game against the Grizzlies, the bench only put up 17 combined points for the Timberwolves. So I'm thinking maybe we can just let Cat do his thing.
Yeah.
Kind of hopefully break even-ish or close to even in the Wiggins-Cat minutes. And then, shockingly, have the bench kind of clean up where our starters are being kind of deficient.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, this is a nightmare matchup for us. These kind of matchups have been nightmare matchups for us all season long. I expect them to use Cat a lot more in the post and use him as a traditional athletic center.
For sure.
I don't think they're going to have him, like, taking a lot of corner threes
he
or anything like that.
He took seven threes in their game against Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely capable of it. I just don't think, and especially against this team, I don't know that that's where he's most effective.
Yeah.
I think that you're nearly guaranteed a bucket in a post-up situation against this team.
For sure. Someone just said they hope Zoo can give him trouble. I do too. Zoo, Will talked about it yesterday. We hope Zoo kind of goes at him. Maybe a little more physical. Maybe a little banging around. That'd be nice. What else do we got to do to win?
We're just going to – I talked about it a little earlier with the rebounding thing, but we're just going to need really solid defensive efforts from Gallo and Temple, who I'm assuming is going to be starting, especially with his decreased scoring capacity lately. He's really going to need to provide a lot of upside defensively, which I think he's capable of. He does tend to get into some foul trouble, but he's got he's got a long frame. And, you know, to the eye test, he covers guys pretty well.
I think so. So Temple, you talked about foul trouble. He does seem to get into foul trouble early, I've noticed, on games.
Yeah.
I talked to him about that in the game where he guarded Doncic, where he got, like, pretty early fouls on him. And I almost think it's not a strategy, but if he gets early fouls, he has such good rapport with most refs that he just has the ref break down what he's calling. And then he adjusts from that, which, like, I think is great if you can do it, which he seems to be able to a little bit.
He's also the dude, and he's kind of been this dude since he's been on the team. Like, he's the guy that we need to come in and give up a foul.
Yeah, you know? For sure. He's
like,
not that
on
big
a fast
of a loss.
Break or something, it's like, hey, man, like, we need you to slow down
just
the play.
Just clothesline
like,
this guy.
And we're kind of willing willing to live with that foul or live with that chance at the line. And, you know, it's not going to be as free to give up if he's playing starting minutes, but I don't know. I expect to see a pretty solid effort from him.
Yeah, another thing, we got to shoot the three. Teams are shooting almost 38% from three against the Wolves, and they're also letting opponents take 33 threes a game, which is 8 more attempts than our usual clip.
Yeah.
So we could be, I mean, the equation's a pretty easy one. We just shoot the ball since Cat will most likely be holding down the paint.
Definitely.
We just got to let it fly. I know we're not going to have Shamet for the whole game, but I think Lou's going to be feeling it. I'm hoping Gallo, and then I'm going to talk about this in the matchups, but Beverly, I think, is going to be relied upon heavily from three.
I think it's going to be important early. It's going to be really hard to score in the paint, and I just think that if we're able to stretch the floor and set that precedent from the beginning, the Timberwolves are going to be in for a much rougher night.
Now we can go into what could go wrong. The first one for me is just pretty obvious. Cat and Wiggins just kind of go crazy.
Yeah.
That's going to be the way that the Timberwolves win this game.
Definitely.
Our starters got outplayed by the Knicks. So we're kind of in this weird space where, like, we don't really know how to predict how they're going to play, I feel like, especially with Shamet being out.
Yeah, there's been some ups and downs, and with Shamet out, I mean, it does take away a lot of the offensive punch.
Yeah, and if our bench can't hit shots like they couldn't against the Cavs, I think our bench had 0 three-pointers made in that game.
Yeah.
We could be in a catch-up game against a very good home team.
Yeah.
They are an annoying team to play at home. We are the fourth best team on the road, but that just means we're at 21-17, so like borderline 500.
Yeah.
I just don't...
That's solidly above 500. Yeah. 21-17 is decent.
I'm the teacher who's like, oh, you got a 69.5%? Still a D. But yeah, I'm just worried that they might come out and punch us in the mouth, which seems to be something that a lot of teams can do to rattle us.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you going with this?
Yeah, I guess just their starters, as I said in the preview, have outscored a starting unit that actually looked pretty similar to this one by 50 points.
Damn.
So that's going to be really, really hard. And, I mean, once again, like, I feel like I've just been pounding this nail on the head all preview. But, like, we're just going to need to get stops. That's going to be the biggest thing. That's going to rattle any sort of, like, rhythm that they have or any sort of confidence.
Yeah.
And this is a team that, you know, they're going to be rolling out a lot of young guys. And these are guys that can lapse defensively.
For sure.
So I think, like, if we're really able, you know, it has to be the opposite of what the last couple first quarters have been.
Goddamn, yeah.
In terms of, like, just in terms of effort and intensity.
If we lose this one 40-25, it might be harder to come back like we did against, excuse me, the Cavs.
Yeah.
Another thing that might go wrong, the spacing might be a little goofy without Shamit.
Yeah, this is interesting because I do think that there's an issue there. Obviously, Temple hasn't really been knocking down shots so far.
Yes. He's due.
He's due, and he could, you know, he could have a night. But yeah, it makes the spacing a lot goofier, and it's honestly against a team that, like, we couldn't use the three-point shooting anymore. You know what I mean?
Like,
there's
sure.
not a whole
other
lot of
like
teams.
Other than, like, the Jazz.
Yeah, other than, like, yeah, a team like that, there's not a whole lot of other teams where we could really use the three-point shooting as much as we could probably tonight.
Yeah, so there's going to be kind of a burden on, like I said, Gallo and Bev to get this happen. Someone has commented, I think that Wilson Chandler is in for a solid game tonight. That would
I
be great,
right.
man.
I really
we
hope
all
you're
want
right.
that.
I'm really hoping that.
That would be fantastic. Let's get into some key matchups. People have been talking about this on the chat. We're way ahead of me. This is kind of Cat versus Zubats and Trez.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a weird breakdown defensively. Cat guarded Zoo for 63% of the possessions when we played them last time, but Zoo only took and made one shot.
Okay.
So I think that kind of had to do with the familiarity of Zoo within the offense and maybe just not calling looks for him.
Yeah.
So you think that's going to have to go up. And then Zoo had him for less time than Trez did on defense and held him to one of two shooting, while Trez got a little beat up, giving up 3 of 5 shots to Cat.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a weird, I think we're going to platoon against Cat. I'm not really sure who's going to be able to shut him down. I think
nobody really guarded him that well.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see Zoo more at him. It's another one of those things, like it's like we used to talk about with Boban, where sometimes like Zoo is a kind of guy that you can throw him out there and we pretty much know what we're gonna get.
For sure.
Within
yeah, I like
you know,
that.
Like within that 8 minutes or whatever of
yeah,
the starting
if
quarter.
If his two broken fingers.
Yeah. and anytime Cat got switched on to Gallo or anything, nobody really defended him that well. He shot better than 50%. Yeah, against both Trez and Gallo. So hopefully Zoo can provide something there.
And like some early offensive burst from Zoo, like maybe a couple quick dunks or something like that to kind of get Cat rattled on defense.
We're getting some Garrett Temple slander in the chat. I'm not really with that.
Yeah.
I want to give the guy like a fair rub. He's a professional.
Also, I'm biased. He's very nice.
Yeah. Somebody also said that Ty Wall should get the start. I would love that. It's
Ooh,
not going to happen.
I like that take, man.
I do think that that actually kind of fills an interesting hole with Shamit gone.
For sure.
Just because Ty Wall can put the ball on the deck. He's a pretty good handler. He's a playmaker.
Pretty good defender.
And a solid defender. So I do think that's an interesting idea.
That would be nice.
I don't think that we're going to see it,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Alas. What do you got for a matchup?
So for key matchups, obviously this one is the obvious one, but like the huge bench game, their bench hasn't been outscored by less than 30 from our bench in either of the times we've played. It's going to be it's going to be really huge for the bench as it is in every game, but this one
that we play
this one especially just given how bad the starters kind of fared against their starters.
For sure. Someone there's a couple great takes in here about how they want to see Jerome starting tonight.
That's spicy. I mean, I'd like
I would
to
like
see
it. Get some threes, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Starters versus themselves. This is kind of a big existential one for me. We almost lost to the Cavs, and our starters got eaten alive by the Knicks. This could be kind of a nice, like, see, we can actually put it together when it matters game for these guys.
Yeah.
I think they're all probably frustrated with the performance against those two teams. We got the wins, which is great, but it's still one of those days like where you go to work and you get the thing done, and you're still like, I just still didn't do well.
Yeah, like, for sure.
So I'm hoping, we can break even on these Cat and Wiggins minutes and maybe even get the lead on them just to kind of give our guys some nice momentum going into the matchup against the Bucks, starters-wise.
Yeah, definitely. I got a couple for you, so I'm just going to work backcourt to front court.
Okay.
I think Josh Okogie and Tyus Jones versus Shea and Bev is pretty interesting. Both these guys are super young.
Okogie's legit, too.
Yeah, Okogie's played really well. Tyus Jones has been improving. I think he's a fourth-year guy right now. They don't always have the most impressive numbers in the box score, but they can easily get hot and find themselves like both in double digits. Jones almost had a double-double against the Grizzlies. He was a rebound short on Saturday. So I think though that, you know, since these guys are younger, they're not going to be used to the sort of defensive pressure that that Beverly's going to apply and that I think Shea is capable of applying.
Yeah.
So we'll just kind of see what happens. I feel like anytime there's a young backcourt, Shea really kind of shows out. He likes to play against those kind of guys, and he likes to play against rookies, and he likes to show how good he's been. Oh, somebody said best Clippers podcast hands down. Thank you so much. You're the best podcast listener hands down.
Someone in the comments was just saying they want to see a Shea triple double tonight. That could happen.
Yeah,
that could definitely happen. It'd be a low end triple double. Doc has commented a couple times how he thinks Shea is a triple double guy.
Uh huh.
Be fantastic to see a triple double. All right, what's this?
And then so for front court, we've got Dario Saric, who's been a problem.
He's the man. I love Dario.
Yeah, I was a fan of him on the Sixers. He's been a problem against this Clippers team. Gallo and Green guarded him for a combined 80% of his possessions, and he shot better than 50% on both of these guys. So let's just hope that we can guard out to the perimeter well. It's going to be a big effort thing for Gallo, which, you know, as I said, that his rebounding numbers might have to take a dip.
Yeah, which we're fine with.
Yeah, and the thing is with the offensive load that he's going to have to carry, I think this is going to be a pretty difficult defensive matchup for him.
Absolutely.
You know, luckily he does have the size and length on him, but it's going to be, I think, honestly, Green is going to be a more effective defender on Saric than we'll probably see Gallo being.
What's your prediction for this game?
Prediction for this game?
What's your prediction, Twitter live stream?
I'm going 122-116 Clippers.
I like that. Yeah, it feels like it's going to be one of those kind of closest games. I'm going to go like 125. Someone just said Lou is going to go for 40-plus. Heard it here first. He did one of the times we played him,
lost. He went off for 45 in that loss, but that was because I think our starters scored something like 18 points.
Yeah, I think Temple had like 2 or something like that. Yeah, I'm going to go like $125 to $120 Clippers.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those games where I think we maybe get punched in the mouth early.
Okay.
And then kind of figure it out, hopefully.
Yeah.
Also, let's pray to God Shamit sits. Coming up, we got some questions from you guys on Twitter. Someone just said 110-98 Clips win. Would love to see that. We're going to be hitting those questions in a sec. But first, got to give Tom's Urban another shout-out. It's right next to Staples Center, right there on LA Live.
A jump shot away.
If you will, or a layup, depending how tall you are. 70 big screens TVs. Go watch some Clippers future second-round picks playing in the tournament right now. Tons of drink specials. The U-Pour floor system has like 50 beers from local and the world, so that's nice. We were thinking how funny it would be if you put like every beer into one cup.
Yeah,
it'd be
a dead
terrible.
Man's float.
You'd probably
get beers.
Very drunk. Dead man's float of beers. But yeah, again, that is Tom's Urban LA Live. We've been there a couple times. Absolutely love it. Yeah, coming up after this, some Twitter questions. All right.
So what do we got?
Welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. We got a really good question. If you guys want to just shoot them at us while we're doing this, feel free. We'll get to them. We got some pre-gifted questions to us. This one is from the user Street Artillery. Great Twitter handle. He said, "Does Patrick Beverley make NBA All First Team defense?"
Somebody had a very important question on the live stream. Does Tom's Urban have micheladas? Yes.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Very good.
That's a great question. Very valid. Damn. Sorry, I had to interrupt the podcast.
We're
going to
be starting Lockdown Micheladas next
season.
It's
very important.
Someone asked, does Patrick Beverley make NBA all first team defense?
No.
I think he makes second team.
No. Yeah, he doesn't, but he deserves to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's been a great defender all year. He's been incredible. And he's like so... His play is so selfless, which I think is one of those things to me that we don't always talk about when we talk about like the defensive player of the year or all defense guys. I think there are guys who are willing to get the work done, and it's not stuff that necessarily shows up in the stats. And Patrick Beverley is like the epitome of
that. You would say he is possibly unstattable.
Never heard that one before.
Never heard that before. We got one more. We got a couple more for you guys. This is a great one from Clip City 2. I think you might be viewing right now. What seed do you think we finish? His guess is 7. Then he said, bring on Denver.
I think we could go 6, maybe with the Blazers. I don't know how much the Blazers are really going to fall, to be perfectly honest. I think they might end up going 5. And maybe the Jazz can move up to 4.
I think we're going to be around that 6 spot.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be
that 6. That's what I said.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be that 6 spot. Someone, Matt Chong just asked, what other two guards get it above Patrick Beverley for first team all defense? I'm actually not really sure now that I'm thinking about it.
I don't think anyone deserves it over him. I just don't know that it's like the Drew Holiday for sure.
And
then.
That's a good one.
You know what? That is a good question.
Oh, here's
somebody asked, does Shea make first team all rookie or second?
Damn, this year it's hard.
That's
this
really,
year,
really hard.
As a his position, I mean, it's Trey and Luka.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think that he makes first team just because of the guard talent.
Like
in this
the
one.
Guard talent is craziness.
Yeah,
I mean second team absolutely, but like
first team is. I mean, I think first team is already
team,
locked up.
But those other guards are like
it's already kind of
they're doing their
up.
Thing. This one is from at Will Updike.
What?
Say we get a marquee free agent, Kawhi or KD, who exit the starting lineup? Shamet or Bev?
Yeah, so in this scenario, we get Kevin Durant.
We will get to that Trez question in 1 second.
We get to Kevin Durant or Kawhi. I think
Shamet is out.
I disagree.
Oh, really?
I think if you add either Kevin Durant or Kawhi, both guys are such capable defenders, especially when the effort is there. That you move Patrick Beverley onto that second unit because we could use a little bit. We could use his defense.
Shore up that defense.
On that second unit. And it also, like, I mean, Doc is getting much more fluid, I feel like, with his rotations.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that Patrick Beverley would necessarily see a huge minutes dip.
For sure, yeah.
And I think that Shea would be the first one to exit that lineup, that starting lineup, in this free agent scenario. Which I don't approve of, or like that's not my goal, but I do think that that is what would happen.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good call. I think it might be Shamet just to keep. I guess you're right. The defense would be kind of bad on not bad, not as good on the second unit.
If
it was like Sham and Lou.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a sieve situation.
I also just I like Shamet maybe not necessarily playing the majority of his minutes next to Lou. Lou is the guy on that. Lou is the scorer on that unit. I don't really think that you need Shamet there. I guess he does space the floor a little bit more for Lou Will. I actually got an interesting free agent thing, though, that I think could also work for that second unit, which we can talk about in a sec.
Someone just asked on the stream, do we think Trez wins most improved player? I think he does.
I hope he does.
I think he does.
I mean, it's definitely out there. I've heard a lot of people, like not just Clippers fans, talk about
yeah.
it. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, there's a lot of interesting guys for that this year, though. Like, I think the Kings possibly have two candidates for it.
Yeah, for sure.
In Hield and Fox.
Damn,
so it's
Hield might get it.
I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
Someone just said they could stagger the minutes in terms of Shamet and Shea like they do with CP3 in Houston. I like that.
Yeah.
So Chong says tough to give it to Trez over Siakam or Hield. Yeah, there's a but this year.
Oh yeah, Siakam.
Like,
I totally
forgot about him.
He's
That's
definitely
a very good
up there.
Point. Yeah, Siakam will probably get it now that I'm thinking about it. Someone's asking, is Portland our favorite first round matchup? For me, yes. For me, it's currently 100%.
Yeah,
they don't have a center. God, also Godspeed to Nurkic on that recovery. That is horrifying.
The ideal situation, and it's not going to happen, but the ideal situation would be. We could somehow hop to four, catch the Blazers at five.
Yeah.
In the five spot, and then
obviously sweep. No, I'm just kidding.
And then avoid the Warriors in the second round
until
of the playoffs.
we get to the Western Conference
until
Finals.
Until we play
of
them in
course.
The Western Conference Finals, when we've really got the wind in our sails.
Yeah.
And
when we're really just peaking. I'm gonna take a quick break and then come back for some more questions. But first, Will, do you have an indoor camera to monitor your apartment when you're gone?
No, but if I did, I would get the Wyze. It's an indoor camera that freaking does it all, you guys.
Wyze.
It's packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. That's kind of terrifying to me. But it's got 1080p, full HD, images so clear you won't miss a thing. Perfect for whatever creepy thing you need to be surveilling in your house.
For $10 more, WyzeCam Pan gives you 360 coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. We got 360 horizontal range, 93-degree vertical range. Patrol your room with Pan Scan. You know, you can see if like your relatives are like farting all over your cushions or something like that, or moving all your stuff around.
As they generally are.
Maybe your dog does some viral stuff while you're gone. I don't know. Check out Wyze.com/lockedon. That is Wyze/lockedon for a special offer. All right, so we got some more Twitter questions from you guys.
Oh, somebody just came in. Oh, man, I remembered the question, and then I just forgot it.
Oh, if you just typed a question that Will forgot, please type it in. Will had a good free agent pickup. We want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Lay this one on them, because I was really psyched when I heard this one.
Okay, so I'm looking outside the scope of
Someone just said Taco Fall, second round pick from the Clippers. Dude, why not? Let's get another 7 foot giant on the team. That'd be great.
So I was looking at like at free agency. Obviously, there's some dudes at the very top that we're very clearly going after.
Yeah, pining for, if you will.
That we're definitely pining for.
Courting.
I was thinking, though, about some other pieces that might not be as marquee, but would be really nice. And the one that's at the top of my list right now would be Trevor Ariza.
Ariza from Ariza.
I think that he slots in kind of seamlessly to that second unit. The forward position, especially at small forward, like actual true small forward, is something that's been really pretty thin.
Immediately got a hell nah from someone on the stream.
It's been really pretty thin all year long, and I think that I think that the defense that he provides definitely shores up one of what you know, like what is one of the bigger issues for that second unit?
Yeah,
he brings another veteran presence, and then he can, you know, pretty seamlessly be thrown into that to that starting unit. Somebody saying I'd rather go for a young bro. I totally agree with what you're saying. I just think on a short-term contract, like if we offer him another 1 year, it's really worth exploring. You know, he has had a somewhat tough year, but the numbers are still decent.
For a second unit guy on like a team friendly contract, why not? We got the cap space.
Yeah, because I think that's the biggest hole to me is somebody at the like is just somebody at the forward position, especially on that second unit. I mean, I like Garrett Temple. I don't really see us re-signing him unless
that's fair.
Unless there's not another option out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at 13-5-4 pretty much right now.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
And even when the shots aren't falling, you know, if he can provide competent defense, which I think in this Rex Kalamian scheme, he's set up for success in.
Ariza is Wesley Johnson 2.0. I don't know about that. Man, what else? Any more? Hold on, I got a couple more questions I had to get to. Someone asked, if every major free agent is guaranteed to say yes, both will take a haircut as well. What is your starting lineup? Now, I know you meant to say pay cut, but we're going off haircuts right now.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I think AD with the high top fade at the five.
Okay.
That's obviously number one.
Yeah.
That's going to look great. And then Kawhi all bald.
Okay.
Clean shave.
At the three.
At the three.
I think
and
Gallo?
Then KD with baby dreads at the two.
KD, baby dreads at the two. Gallo with maybe some tasteful braids at the four.
Those do not exist. For an Italian man, tasteful braids I do not think exist.
I'm not talking about rows. I'm talking about like just maybe some tiny braids.
Okay, I guess that's fine. Yeah,
shaved around the sides.
I immediately thought rose and was like, this is getting
No, rose, I feel like that's a no-no.
Ooh, the bald Kawhi take is a very hot one. Thank you. Let's get some Photoshop on that.
He'll be faster.
He'd be way faster.
He'll be scarier.
He'd fit in L.A.? I don't even know what that means.
And then at the one, you got Shea, who's bringing the dreads back.
Yeah, Shea looks great with the dreads.
Yeah.
We'll do that. If you haven't listened to it, check out Doc on Woj's podcast. That was really cool. He talked about coaching Austin.
Yeah.
He talked about how the Lob City team, he was sad they didn't win in the moment, but now he's like, I kind of understand we weren't the best team in the NBA at that point.
Yeah.
My favorite quote from this podcast is, as a coach, there's days you want to drive to practice doing 35 and a 55, and then there's days where you want to drive 75 and a 55. I'm doing 100 every time I get in the car. I want to see my guys. What more do we want from this guy, you guys?
It's been really encouraging to hear how much he's enjoying his job and how much he's enjoying this team.
Also, someone was asking in the comments of the live stream if there's any details on his contract. There are none.
What it sounds like, I don't know. What it sounds like is that there's possibly 3 years on it.
Yeah.
That is, I would guess, guaranteed.
With no opt-out.
Yeah. Because
they took that off the table. They were like, we don't even want this possibility. So
what he makes it sound like on the Woj pod is that he wasn't going to re-sign.
Yeah.
And then they offered him an opt-out, which is essentially a mutual opt-out. So if the team wanted him, he had to give the final okay. Like, mm-hmm. He had to want to do it to fulfill that last year of the contract. And if they didn't want him or he didn't want to come back, he was going to get a guaranteed sum.
Yeah.
And that was what encouraged him to say. And then, you know, he's been enjoying the job to a certain degree. And I think it's been going so much better that he agreed to a more long-term kind of a deal.
There you go. Guys, that about wraps up for us on the live stream. On the recording. We'll be on the live stream for a few minutes after this. Tomorrow we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be doing a What Could Have Been Wednesday, where we take a look back at
the Arrelal Universe.
Yeah, maybe things are a little different if things go differently. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Please rate, subscribe, anything on the platform you listen to the podcast on. Check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram for like every single feed aggregate, which is tight. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
Yeah, I'm William the Opinion Update.
Thanks for listening, guys.